particularly Methodists, or used to what we do in Methodism, we have one wonderful service every year that we call a covenant service, which is where we remember all of God's goodness and blessings to us, and we commit ourselves afresh to serving and loving and worshipping Him in our lives. And that's what we'll be doing this morning. So it is a bit different. It is an all-together service, so we're all together. If there are any children that are here right now, then you can go right now. I think they've already gone, because they're going to go out now and have their time together and then come back and join us for the actual covenant and for communion afterwards. When we come to the covenant part of the service, there will be some words that will be on the screen there. They will be the words that are in the Methodist worship book that we will use. As usual with these kind of liturgies, if you could join in with the words that are in bold, that would be good. There are some paper copies. If you ask one of the stewards, if you'd like one of those instead of looking at the words on there, that would be fine. There are two notices I just want to give out before we begin. First is that next Sunday we're having lunch after church together, which will be really good. About 12:45 next Sunday we're having a lunch of baked potatoes and pudding. So if you can join us for that, that would be fantastic for a time of fellowship. And if you'd like to bring a filling or a pudding, then that would be great as well. And there is a sheet you can sign up for in reception. The other thing just to let you know is you may have seen some purple booklets in the reception or on the chair just out there. If you would like to take one of these, you're very, very welcome to. These are a study guide that's been put together by the district, either for individuals or for house groups, to look at the God in Love Unites Us. And to consider and do some additional Bible study together to see what, listen to each other's stories and the different views that there are with regard to the issue of whether Methodists agree to the marriage of same-sex couples. So do take one of those if you'd like to. Let's begin with a real hymn of praise, shall we? It's number 51 in your hymn books, or I'm sure the words will be on the screen. Let's stand as we're able as we sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," as we remember all of God's goodness to us. Let's stand and sing. Thank you, John. Seated. So let us pray. Yeah, great is Your faithfulness, God. We come to this place this morning to give glory to You. Glory to You, our Father God. For You are the God of love who created and sustains this universe and everything in it, including us. In Your great covenant with us, You have loved us with an everlasting love. You've given us life in all its fullness through Your Son, Jesus. And so we praise You. Will You be glorified in this place today? And we give glory to You, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. For You are God, and You were with God from the very beginning. And yet, for our sake, You left Your glory and became one of us, making Your home among us. You proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God, and for our sake died on the cross. Your death showed us again the great covenant love that You have for us. And You were raised from the dead and are alive now forever, raising us to new life in You and bringing the kingdom of heaven to us. And You will come again as all of creation is restored to fullness of life in You. And so we praise You, Jesus. Will You be glorified in this place today? And we give glory to You, Holy Spirit. For You are the Lord, the giver of life, by whom we are born into God's family and made members of the body of Christ. Your presence abides in us. You guide us and empower us and carry us. And so we praise You, Holy Spirit. Will You be glorified in this place today? So to You, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give You praise and glory. Amen. We have three different texts that we're going to read together today from the Bible, and John is going to come and read those to us now. Thank you, John, at such short notice. There are three different covenants that God has established with people, and we'll hear those now.
The first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, and reading from verse 1 to verse 9. And it's on page 16 in the church Bibles. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come before you, from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." And the second reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, two separate sections, 1 to 6 and 9 to 15, found on page 207 in the church Bible. These are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites in Moab, in addition to the covenant he had made with them at Horeb. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials, and to all his land. With your own eyes you saw those great trials, those miraculous signs, and great wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. During the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God." And moving to verse 9. "Carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything you do. All of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God. Your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with your children and your wives and the aliens living in your camps who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath, to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God as he promised you, and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am making this covenant with this oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today." And finally, moving on to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and we're looking at verse 14 and verses 19 and 20. And you will find this on page 1058 in the church Bible. "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Amen.
Thank you, John. We're going to spend a little time in worship now, so the worship group are going to come and lead us into different songs of worship. So here we are then at the beginning of a new year and our annual covenant service. I've already said that as Methodists we hold this service each year. I think it's one of the most precious things that we do together as a worshipping community. And you know, in our covenant service we do two things. First of all, on the one hand, we recall God's covenant love for us and God's commitment to us as his people. We rejoice in the life that we have in Christ and for all of God's promises to us. And then secondly, we commit ourselves to living for God's glory and giving ourselves over to his will in our lives. So covenant then has two sides to it. One is all about God and one is all about us. You know, there's usually two sides to most things, aren't there? We often think, don't we, or talk about there are two sides of the coin, or to describe different contrasts that there might be. We speak of yin and yang, or on the flip side of something. We say on the one hand, but then we say, but on the other. So today, what I want us to do is to consider both of these sides of this covenant. God's side and our side, and how those two sides work in a covenant. You know, we don't use the word covenant much at all, do we, anymore these days? We can often confuse covenant with the word contract, but actually they're two very different things. A contract, we know as being a legally binding agreement between at least two parties. The dictionary says the contract is a formal, written or spoken agreement between two different groups of people. And a contract, of course, is only upheld when both parties keep their side of the bargain and meet the conditions that are laid down in the contract. And in our culture, we use contracts all the time, don't we? Every time you buy something, whether that's from Amazon or just the shop down the road, you are entering into a contract. You commit to paying X, and the shopkeeper agrees in return to provide Y. Our whole lives seem to be governed by contracts. And you know, actually, as a society, I think we quite like them. Because you know where you are in a contract, don't you? It's black and white. You do this, and I'll do that. But if you don't meet your side of the bargain, then I'm afraid the deal's off. And you know, even when it comes to God, many Christians think of our relationship with God a bit like a contract. God comes along with a whole set of promises and good things that God offers, but we only get them if we keep our side of the contract. And the offer that God makes has many wonderful things. Almost always these include the offer of what we call salvation or redemption and the hope of an eternal life in heaven when we die. But we only get these things if we keep our side of the bargain. Some believe that our part of the contract means that we have to commit the commandments or we need to refrain from sinning. Others think that we have to believe certain things to be true or we have to say a certain prayer in order to qualify. Still others think that we might have to be initiated through baptism or confirmation or some rite. But you know, we can also have subcontracts where if we fail in some way, there may be absolution given through repentance or confession. Yes, we might all believe that God loves us and offers new life, eternal life, life in all its fullness. But God's love and mercy and acceptance is conditional on us keeping our side of the deal. And so we think and believe everything about God contractually. But you know, the word contract also has a different meaning. Totally, totally different meaning. We use the same word when we say contract to make something smaller. We reduce it when we contract something. And that, I believe, is the really big problem with thinking about our relationship with God like a contract. Because there's no provision of grace in a contract. We end up contracting God, making God smaller and reducing God to something that fits with our limited view of what we think is fair or right. We constrain the scope of God's love to a defined set of rules that we can get our heads around. But a covenant, however, a covenant is something completely different. The dictionary definition of covenant simply says an agreement. Covenants are not usually legally binding, and a covenant is nearly always about a relationship between two parties. I googled the difference between a contract and a covenant, and I found this on a legal website, which I thought was brilliant, so I'm going to read it to you. It said this: the difference between covenant and contract is evident when someone breaks either one of the agreements. A contract is invalid when one of the involved parties violates it. On the other hand, a covenant remains intact even if one party breached it. While a contract is legally binding, a covenant, it says, is a spiritual agreement. A contract exchanges one good for another, while a covenant is the giving of oneself for the other. So you see, a covenant is very different from a contract. A covenant is a pledge to a relationship regardless of the response of the other party. And you know, when it comes to God, that changes everything. In the Old Testament, God never, ever entered into contracts. But he did establish at least four covenants. The first one was with Noah, and then Abraham. Then one with Moses and the Israelites, and one with King David. Each covenant was a declaration by God of his commitment to the relationship that God had with his people. In each, God pledges his blessing and his care. He commits himself to his people and promises freedom and fruitfulness, wholeness and belonging. We just read about two of them earlier. And humanity's part in these covenants was to recognize God's lordship in their lives by their devotion to God and each other. But you know, each time a covenant was made between God and people, very soon people failed to uphold their side. While God remained faithful and steadfast in God's love and commitment to humanity, humanity ignored God, disobeyed God, and went their own way. And then we come to the New Testament and a new covenant that Jesus established between God and people. As the ultimate expression of God's covenant love and commitment to us, God himself came into our world as Jesus. God, as Jesus, dwelt among us and ended up giving his life on a cross to prove how much we meant to him. This is the new covenant confirmed with my blood, Jesus said, and we just read it before he was arrested. So to recap quickly, God never makes contracts with people, he only makes covenants. And the whole narrative of the Bible shows us that God always keeps to his covenant relationship, regardless of the response with those with whom the covenant has been made. Okay, so let's take a closer look, shall we, at both sides of God's covenant. First of all, let's consider God's side. It's always God who initiates a covenant, and he does so to show people the extent of his love and grace and mercy and care. My favourite Hebrew word, some of you probably know this, in all of the Bible is a word called chesed. I even have it tattooed on my arm, this word. I love it that much. It's a word that's repeated 248 times in the Old Testament. Hesed basically means the love and grace and mercy of God. But it's a love that's given regardless of what is given back. And you know, the thing about this word Hesed is that Hesed is a covenantal pledge to keep on giving no matter what. Hesed is God's covenant to us. God is committed to loving us this way. And we've already mentioned that whenever God makes a covenant with his people, they always end up failing to keep their part of the deal every time. 2,000 years ago, God came as Jesus to prove this covenant love he had for us. Even when we didn't listen to him and ended up killing him, he lay stretched out on the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them." Giving his life on the cross was the ultimate expression of God's Hesed covenant love. Colossians 1 says that through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace, it says, with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. God always loves, always forgives, always blesses, always accepts, always includes, and always delights in us. And he does so regardless of our response. He does so regardless of what we believe or what we do. God is committed to loving us this way. He does so because that's God's nature. That's God's covenant to us. You know, this covenant, God has no rules for him to love us or receive us or accept us. There are no conditions, no contracts, no fine print. Whatever you do in your life, God will still love you just the same. And however you respond to this covenant that we're going to make today, God's grace, God's Hesed will cover you. And when all of us finally get to meet God, I believe that this God will point at his Son and tell us that we are free and redeemed and accepted and included totally because of what Jesus has done. Because that's how God works in covenant. Now, there are some people who tell me that what I preach is what the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls cheap grace. It's all too easy, they say. If everyone is included, if God accepts everybody regardless, then what's the point of being a Christian? Well, in response, I would say, no, this isn't cheap grace at all. This Hesed love of God cost God his very life. He came in vulnerability and gave himself up to death, even death on a cross, as Philippians 2 tells us. That's not cheap grace. And my response to this covenant love of God is not limited to ensuring that I make it to the next world, but it's about the wonder, the joy, the fullness of life that I get through this amazing relationship that I can have with the Creator of the universe right here and right now. I haven't earned it. I don't deserve it, but God gives it anyway. So that's God's side of covenant. But what about our side then? Well, our side is all about how we choose to respond to this amazing Hesed love that God gives us. Our side of the covenant is very simple to say and trot out, but so hard to do. Jesus didn't come to provide the means of a contract with God. He came to show his covenant love and to invite our response. Our side, he said, will be to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And then to love others the same way that God loves us. Our side, he said, will be to be good news to the poor, to release the captives, to give sight to the blind, to free the oppressed. Our side, he said, is that you forgive others in whatever way they have wronged you. Our side, he said, is to be peacemakers, to be reconcilers. Our side, he said, is to wash each other's feet, to put each other above ourselves. Our side, he taught, is to accept and include all, to welcome the stranger, to love our enemies. And I'll tell you, none of that is cheap grace either. That's hard. Jesus said our response to God's covenant would be like taking up our own cross every day. And I'm afraid we will fail. We will be no different from anyone else who has ever lived on this planet. As the Apostle Paul said, I know that nothing good lives in me. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. And yet, I want to tell you this morning that the most wonderful thing is that God knows. God knows we will fail. God understands our nature. He knows we'll get it wrong. He knows we can never live up to His standards. That's why the only way that you and I will find peace is to live in His grace, in His love, in His chesed. We put our faith in the God and in what God has done and who God is, not in who we are or what we have done. But nevertheless, we try. We try to return this covenant love. Today, in this covenant prayer that we're about to make, our response is to commit to trying to be the best version of us that we can be. And we try in His strength and in His power and in His love to be more like Christ. We try to live our lives as a reflection of His love for us. And we respond with all we've got, knowing that forever we depend on God's chesed love. And God, in His covenant love, will keep on blessing us and keeping us and making His face shine on us and being gracious to us and giving us His peace. For God, our heart's desire is enough. Now, in closing, I know that some of you here today will find it really hard to get your heads around a covenant God. We often still want a contract God, one with rules and boundaries and lines drawn in the sand. Because that's what we've been taught, that's what we've been conditioned to believe, that's the way the world works. But today, this morning, on this Covenant Sunday, I invite you to rediscover this covenant God of ours. I invite you to open yourselves up to the endless possibilities of God's love. I invite you to respond to the unbelievable grace of our covenant God and to put your trust in Him. I invite you to pray the words that we will hear very soon in our covenant prayer. Let us give ourselves to Him, trusting in His promises and relying on His grace. And may we be able to respond with the words of our covenant prayer, I willingly offer all I have and am to serve You. What an amazing God we have. What a Saviour. What love. So how, I wonder, will you respond? Amen. And as we think about our response to this covenant God of ours, we're going to sing a song now. It's an old song, but I think the words fit quite right. We're going to sing As the Deer. And You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship You. I think that's enough for God. So because you'll be stood up, sat down, you'll be sat down a long time, shall we stand if we can? As you're able, please stand as we sing. Very soon we'll be moving into our covenant itself, but before we do that, and while we ask the children if they want to come in, which we'll do now, we'll come to God with our prayers for others. So let's pray. Dear God, we're about to renew our covenant to You and remember Your covenant for us. And we do so not for ourselves alone, but as Your servants and witnesses. And so, God, we pray for Your church and for the world. Ah, God, would You hear us as we pray for Your church? May Your church grow in its love for You. And may we show Your love for this world and to this world. And through us, Your church, wherever it meets all over the world, Lord. May people encounter more of you and know more of your love and your grace and your Hesed covenant love for us. God, we praise you for everyone who's faithfully witnessed to your love that are not now in our presence. We pray that we too may be faithful in declaring your love. And we pray for your world. God, would you inspire and lead all who govern and hold authority in the nations of this world? Will you establish justice and peace among all people? We pray for your kingdom to come on earth. We pray for parts of our world that are hurting and that need you so much right now. We think of the tension in Iran and America. We think of Australia and the devastation of the fires. And Lord, we just commend and commit our hurting world to you and pray that you would bring healing and wholeness. We pray, God, that you would have compassion on all those who suffer from any sickness or grief or trouble. We pray, God, that you would deliver them from their distress. And in a moment of silence now, we lift before you all those people that are on our hearts, that in your grace and your infinite love, you might draw close to them. God, you delight to hear our prayers, and you've promised that through Christ, that when two or three agree in your name, then you will grant what they ask. And so we present these prayers to you in Jesus' name. And in this world, would you grant that we may truly know you and glorify you in our lives, for we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And let's say together, shall we, the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Morning, everybody. Do you want to find a seat somewhere? What we're about to do now, I'm saying this for the benefit of those children that have just came in, is we're going to do our covenant together. Now, there'll be a lot in this covenant, I'm sure, that you will not understand. There's lots in this covenant that I don't understand, really. But yet there's something, I think, really special about using the words that we're about to use and doing what we do. And so we begin with reminding ourselves about God's covenant. The words will be on the screen here now. God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love by finding delight in the law. The covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in his life, work, death, and resurrection. In him all people may be set free from sin and its power and united in love and obedience. In this covenant, God promises us new life in Christ. For our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. And so we meet, therefore, as generations have met before us, to renew the covenant which bound them and binds us to God. So let us then seek forgiveness for the sin by which we have denied God's claim upon us. Let us pray. God of mercy, hear us as we confess our sins. For the sin that has made us slow to learn from Christ, reluctant to follow him and afraid to bear the cross. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has caused the poverty of our worship, the formality and selfishness of our prayers, our neglect of fellowship and the means of grace, and our hesitating witness for Christ. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has led us to misuse your gifts, evade our responsibilities, and fail to be good stewards of your creation, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. And for the sin that has made us unwilling to overcome evil with good, tolerant of injustice, quick to condemn, and selfish in sharing your love with others, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. We say together, have mercy on me, O God, in your constant love. In the fullness of your mercy, blot out my offences. Wash away all my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your help again and strengthen me with a willing spirit. If we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, to all who truly repent, this is his gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. And before we come to our covenant prayer itself, we are going to join and sing together. The words will be here, but it's number 549 in your hymn books if you're using. This is Charles Wesley's great covenant hymn. Come, let us use the grace divine, and all with one accord, in a perpetual covenant, join ourselves to Christ the Lord. Let's stand as we're able to sing. And can I ask that if you're able, you remain standing after we've sung. Okay, and so we come to the words which Duncan will have for us now. So sisters and brothers in Christ, let us again accept our place within this covenant which God has made with us and with all who are called to be Christ's disciples. This means that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we accept God's purposes for us and the call to love and to serve God in all our life and work. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honour, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and material interests, but others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others, we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. Let's pray. Eternal God, in your faithful and enduring love, you call us to share in your gracious covenant in Jesus Christ. In obedience, we hear and accept your commands. In love, we seek to do your perfect will. With joy, we offer ourselves anew to you, for we are no longer our own, but yours. I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Wherever you may place me, in all that I do, and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me and when there is none, when I am troubled and when I am at peace, your will be done. When I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing, I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. Amen. So please be seated. So now we come to the point in this service where we are able to celebrate God's covenant with us that's made complete in Jesus. Here we come to the table of God, not the table of the church. This table is for all who love God, for all who want to know more of God. And just as God invites us to be part of the covenant relationship that he made available for us in Jesus without any conditions or qualifications, so God invites us to come to this, his table, to be fed, to be filled by him. So come, whether you have much faith or little. Come, whether you feel worthy or not, because the cross of Christ makes us all worthy. The love of Jesus reaches to all of us. Here is a place where you can meet God and receive once more his grace. So I would invite everybody to come forward when invited to receive communion, regardless of age or wherever you feel you may be on your spiritual journey. If you'd like us to bring communion to you, then that's fine. Just notify one of the stewards. And if you'd prefer not to receive bread and wine, that's fine too. There is no obligation to participate. So as we prepare ourselves to meet at Christ's table, we're going to sing again. This is a song that we only had a few weeks ago, but I've chosen it again because I think that this is a lovely one for us to sing. I will offer up my life. So let's come with our prayers to this amazing God of ours, remembering this relationship with him that he has made possible for us in Jesus. Loving God, we remember this amazing covenant that you have made with us through the gift of your Son Jesus and through his sacrifice on the cross. We celebrate that our covenant with you doesn't mean that we have to conform or perform or shape up or qualify. Thank you, God, that you accept us just as we are, purely on the basis of who you are and on what you have done. We remember that on the night before he died, Jesus sat at supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took a piece of bread. He said a blessing and broke it and gave it to them with these words, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this to remember me." And then later he took a cup of wine and said, "This cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Drink from this, all of you, to remember me." So now, dear God, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, ordinary things which Jesus has made special. We thank you for making us and loving us, for caring and sustaining us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace which reaches to us and covers us, accepting us exactly as we are. Thank you, God, for going to the cross to make this covenant with us possible. And we thank you for rising from the dead to new life so that we can in turn know life in all its fullness. And now you present this table for us, offering not just bread and not just wine, but your very self, that we might be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new in you again. Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, we come with empty hands, and yet at this table you delight to feed us and fill us once more with yourself. And so as we come to this place, would you send down your Holy Spirit, we pray, on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us the means of your grace, the channels of your love, and the way of making us whole. Lord Jesus, this is your gift given for us, your body broken for us. And this wine is your covenant, your love poured out for us. Here, right now, you come to us in bread and wine. This is your gift for us. Will you come and fill us now, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you have once more fed us with your grace. So may we know that we're loved and accepted by you. You have put your life into our hands, and now we put our lives into yours. We renew our covenant with you. We ask that you would take us, renew us, and remake us. What we have been is past, and what we shall be through you still awaits us. So lead us on and take us with you, Lord. Amen. We're going to sing one more hymn to finish with, which the worship band will lead us with, Be Thou My Vision. I'm not sure whether you can use the words in the book, so we'll use the words up here if that's all right. But we'll sing this. This is a great word for us to use as we close this covenant service, that God might be our vision and our light and our guide through everything that follows. So let's stand as we're able as we sing. Hear your call to serve others as you have served us. May we hear your invitation to be part of your plan to rescue the world. And may we be a community of those who walk willingly in the footsteps of Jesus. We remember that we are your covenant children and that you call us to share your love with everyone we meet. So help us to receive your life, to walk in your strength and follow your ways every moment of our lives. And now may God's caring arms embrace us. May Jesus' comforting words fill us. And may the Holy Spirit's renewing presence surround us both today and always. Amen.